right, this is side two of the interview with Mr. Gray. So you used mattocks and pickaxe and
shovels, rakes, hoes, all kinds of different tools that, for the different kinds of things that need to be done.
Okay.
Yep.
Good enough. Now, do you remember that? Now, here are some questions about how terrain and season and weather affected work. Do you feel that you ever worked under any dangerous conditions?
No.
You don't have any scary stories to tell?
No. We didn't go out in rainstorms.
Okay.
We didn't go out in snowstorms. Mm-hmm. But in the wintertime, the weather was cold. We would dress for it. We worked. There was no problem. No, we had no dangerous conditions, and they wouldn't send us out in inclement weather that was bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you aware that there were any measures taken to use or enhance existing natural features? In other words, if there was something particularly attractive feature, do you ever remember specifically working with that?
Yeah, there were times, especially when I was down in Camden Camp, where we worked along the ocean front, and there were nice areas down there that were there before we got there that had nice bushes and trees and so forth, and we would work around them, clean around them, make sure that they were tended to as best possible, and the campsites down there, we kept the campsites very clean for the tourists that came in the summertime. Yeah, like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, was this, do you feel as though this was part of your own particular aesthetics, or was this part of park policy?
Park policy.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay. Here's a theoretical question. Did the fact that you were developing a national park affect your outlook on the project? Did you relate to the fact that this was a natural park? Did this affect how you thought about it?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
In what way? What's
well, we wanted to make sure it was nice, so we did a good job. We were proud of our work, and we did the best we could, knowing that people would be there.
Uh huh. Did you fully expect that if being a national park, that there would be people from the entire nation coming? Is that something that was part of
Well, I guess we didn't realize that at that time, way back then, but there were people, we knew there were out-of-staters and quite a few of them. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked with them from time to time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And where were they from?
I don't recall the states, but New York, Massachusetts, for sure.
Uh-huh. Now you told me, this is a question about the buildings, you said that you didn't build any buildings, you weren't involved with that. Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll skip over those questions. Were you involved in developing any campsites, or was it mainly maintenance of campsites?
It was mainly maintenance of campsites. They were there when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who, see, I went down there, this was basically down in Camden, and I only spent the last 6 months there. That had been work done there by a CC camp before I got there.
Uh-huh.
So I presume that. Well, actually, I don't know who built them, but they were there before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept them up. As I said before, we brought the kindling wood to them. We cleaned the whole area, you know. We policed the area, and we brought them firewood, and we did everything that they needed.
Now, when you say that you brought them firewood. Were you the little elf in the night that delivers the firewood so that, it was just there when the next group came in?
We brought the firewood daily.
Daily. Okay.
Yes, for an open campfire for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you brought a bundle of wood around to each site.
That's right.
Oh.
And kindling wood to start the fires.
Uh huh. Yep. And they didn't have to pay for that?
Nope, not to us anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know about renting the property, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know anything about that.
Okay. And then policing the area meant picking up litter?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Was that a problem?
Well, not really, but we police the area. If there's anything there, we'd scoop it up, you know, but it was not a big problem, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me something about how the summer campers, well, did they interfere with your work? Did they, you know, what kind of relationship did you have with summer campers besides bringing them wood? Was there any interaction?
Not at all. Not hardly anything. They would thank us for helping them out, but no. They were aloof, and we were not fraternizing with them at all, and but everything was okay. I mean, there's no animosity or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, was that part of policy? Was that part of official behavior on your part, that you don't fraternize with a camper?
Well, they didn't tell us not to, but I mean, we were doing a job. They were, maybe they were somewhere else when we would get to their campsite. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were gone shopping someplace or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, there was no...
Okay. Okay, now we're going into a section called education and training. What aspects of the work were considered skilled labor? What skilled labor was there, and who did that?
Well, I don't think there was enough of skilled labor on the forestry side of the camp, because we were all doing what you might call manual labor. But in the Army side of the camp, we had to have some people who had a skill, like for instance, a carpenter shop. We needed some guys who could do carpentry. And then there would be, I guess, some electricians. And the kind of people who maintain a campsite, a camp, like an Army camp, those kind of people had to know a little more than just the average person.
Mm-hmm.
Cooks, for instance, yeah. You know, all those sort of things, yeah.
Okay. Let's see, what about healthcare?
Yes, we had I think it was about a 6-bed ward there for if you got ill. But it wasn't, there was no doctor there, or nurse, and it was there for people who had an illness that was going to just lay them up for a day or two or three, you know, that sort of thing. We had a dentist who came around about once or twice a year, and if you were really ill, of course, they'd take you to the hospital.
So there wasn't anybody there who provided health care?
No.
Nobody. Who did any first aid?
We had a guy or two who worked in this so-called little ward, and they would take care of you for minor things, you know, an aspirin tablet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nothing very big. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Were there any big accidents when you were there? Anybody who needed...
Yeah, there was one real bad accident. As a matter of fact, he was a friend of mine. He fell off a cliff in Bar Harbor and lost his life while working on the up there.
Uh-huh. Wow, that sounds like dangerous. Must have been dangerous up there on that cliff.
Well, yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty serious. Was there anything else that required somebody being taken to a hospital?
Yes. One other time, a man was in the carpenter shop, and there were some boards stacked up along the wall, like plywood, for instance, and there were about 8 or 10 sheets of the plywood, and they toppled over and landed on his leg and broke his leg.
Mm.
And, of course, he had to go to the hospital. Outside of that, I don't recall anything.
Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty safe place to work.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any special training once you got to the camp?
The only special training that I had was when I wanted to become a lifeguard. And I did all the duties and passed all the tests. And finally I went to Fort Devens in Massachusetts to become a senior lifeguard, which then would allow me to be a lifeguard at a beach anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed all of that. And I came back, and I was going to be a lifeguard at a particular beach, and the beach got closed for some reason. I think it was a water problem.
Mm.
And so I didn't get to do that, because that was near the end of my 6 months at Camden.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a good lifeguard at the time.
Now, what made you decide to get lifeguard training? Were you asked to do that?
No. I don't recall for sure how it happened. I think that probably there were opportunities for people to train for that if they wanted to. And there was only two of us at the camp who wanted to. Mm-hmm. And we both did.
And so the plan was then to be a lifeguard at one of the public beaches at Southwest Harbor.
Camden.
In Camden. Yeah. And then will you then be paid by the city of Camden to do that?
No.
No, you wouldn't?
No.
It was free?
Yes. Huh. Yes. Huh. It was something that the CC camp people did.
Okay.
That's like a burning rush. We were there, and
yeah.
That'd
oh,
be
I
the
see.
Yeah.
So there was just one more responsibility.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So let's see. So you got training in Camden, and then you went to Fort Devens to get more training.
Yeah.
Who trained you in Camden? How did that happen?
In Camden?
Yeah.
There was a Red Cross person who came around, and we performed in front of that person, and the junior lifesaving wasn't all that strenuous. Mm-hmm. So this person could see if we were doing it properly and pass us if we passed. But when we went to Fort Devens, we were trained out there by the Army, U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and how long did that training take place? How long did it take?
A week.
For the junior lifesaver?
Well, let me see. That wasn't very long. I guess I think it was about a couple of days at the most, I think. Okay. Maybe one.
But at Fort Devens, it was a week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you, okay, how were these sessions, I'm particularly interested in Camden, these training sessions, a Red Cross person trained you. How are they organized? Did you actually sit in a class?
Most of it all took place in the water.
Okay.
And there was a book demonstrating what you were supposed to do mm-hmm. in case of an emergency. So we had to, he and I would practice on each other with the Red Cross person in attendance. Mm-hmm. And if we did what was supposed to be done, that was fine. And we kept doing these different tests in the water.
Mm-hmm. And it was just you and one other person
yes.
that did this. Okay.
But it was only for about one day in Camden. It wasn't that very that advanced of a course, you know.
Yeah.
But that was, in Massachusetts was a different story.
Right. Yeah. Now, but did you say that you never worked as a lifeguard? Or did you work?
I didn't get a chance to.
You didn't get a chance to?
No, we were going to.
Yeah, okay.
And something happened at the lake. I've forgotten just now what it was. And they shut the lake down for a bit.
Yeah, okay. So you trained as a lifeguard, but that was the only special training that you particularly got.
That's right.
You didn't get trained in, like, fire service or firefighting? No. You were just told to go in there and spray the fire.
Yeah, that wasn't very hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody could do that.
Okay, right. Were there any academic classes available, or was there any other kind of training available for people, vocational or academic, at the camps?
I don't recall there were. No.
People wanted to finish a high school class or.
No,
like that?
I don't think there was.
Okay. All right, and so you ended up with certification in life-saving, but you don't think that there was any other kind of class or training that anybody could have gotten, any other sort of certification that people could have gotten there?
Not that I recall.
Okay. Here's a question. So how relevant was your CCC training to your future career prospects? Were any doors opened as a result of CCC experience or training?
No, I wouldn't say so, excepting for the fact that due to the regimentation that we had there, I didn't find going into the service to be such a I didn't figure that was a bad deal at all, whereas a lot of guys had trouble going into the service right off. It was new to them, and they found it a little hard, but I didn't find it hard at all. I went into the Navy, and it was no problem.
Mm-hmm. How soon after Camden, I guess, did you go into the Navy?
Well, I came back home, and I got a job, and I hadn't worked very long in the job when Pearl Harbor happened. Mm-hmm. That was it right there. I enlisted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, they want to know something about recreation and how you spend your leisure time. I know that you said that you often went into town and hung around and did various activities. Were you involved in any kind of sports? Did the camp have a team or that sort of thing?
No, they didn't. But we had groups that we formed, and we had teams of our own, and we played a lot of volleyball. We played a lot of pool in the recreation room. We played a lot of ping pong. We threw the baseball around a lot. We threw the football around a lot. But there were no fields as such, except for the volleyball field. So that was about the size of it right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you did have your own. You had your own volleyball teams, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually, what you're saying is that you weren't aware of any other sort of sports activities going on outside the camp, so you didn't go to them.
Yes, I mentioned that earlier. We did go to some baseball games.
That's what you
said.
Yeah,
that was basically it because we didn't have much transportation to speak of, but we could walk to a baseball field down in Camden, you know,
mm-hmm.
and.
Were you aware that other camps had, or at that time, or had in the past any teams?
Yes, some of those camps, as I recall, that they talked about some camps having teams. We didn't seem to have a team that would go anywhere and play as a team. We just did it in camp. I heard that some camps had teams that would challenge another camp somewhere, but we
you
didn't.
Didn't do that.
No.
But within your camp, did you have any noted athletes?
Yes, we did, as a matter of fact. We had a boy from Chevers High School in Portland who was an excellent basketball player. We had some boys from up in Brownville Junction who were excellent basketball and baseball players. I played with them, and there were one or two others who were noted for their high school days.
Mm-hmm.
I played ball myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What about crafts and hobbies? What kinds of opportunities were
Well,
there?
There were some crafts there. And here again, I don't recall too much, but I mean, I know a lot of us got into making things. There were pieces of leather, and we'd sew them into different things, like for instance, a cigarette case. You put your pack of cigarettes in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm.
We made those kinds of things. There might have been something else, but I don't recall. It might have been others.
Okay, so leather work was one
yeah,
thing that
that's
you
right.
got involved in.
Yeah.
And but you don't remember if other people were involved in other things? Was there like woodworking or
I don't recall at the moment if there was or not. There might have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall.
You still have any of that leather stuff that you make?
No. I had it for a while, but I don't know. It kind of disappeared. I don't know where it went to.
Yeah. Okay. And what about music and theater? Did you do any of that stuff?
No.
Not
they
in
didn't.
Camp? No.
No.
Okay. And how about educational pursuits such as reading? Did the camp have a library? Were there books and magazines and newspapers?
Well, yes, there was a limited supply of the reading material.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where did that come from? Was there like a library on camp?
I don't know where it came from.
Okay. Did you have a camp newspaper?
No.
All right. Were you aware of anyone who may have learned to read or write in when they were in the camp?
No.
Now, one area that's apparently somewhat controversial, some people had problems, some people had really good experiences, were in the camp-town connections. Now, you've talked about the recreation that was available in Bar Harbor and Southwest Harbor and elsewhere, and that you participated in that. And let's see, I think you said that you went into town a couple of times a week? What did you say?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. And you told me what you were doing in there. Were there particular establishments in these areas that especially catered to CCC men? Like, are there some places that you went?
We were not appreciated by anybody.
And why was that?
Well, I don't know. They just looked down on us, that's all.
And so you felt that strongly
oh, sure.
when you were in town?
Oh, sure. Everybody knew it.
Uh-huh. Well, now, how was that demonstrated? When you say they looked down on you, what happened?
Well, the townspeople were not friendly to start with, you know. And you'd go into a restaurant or something, they'd wait on you because they had to, but there was no great feeling there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things back in those days, that was the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Did you wear your greens, your CCC yeah. greens in town?
Yes, yeah.
So it was pretty obvious who you were then.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like in the Navy, back in those years in the Navy, the signs would say, dogs and sailors keep off the grass, you know. Well, dogs and CCs keep off the grass.
Wow.
That's about the size of it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been really
Yeah, some of our guys had little fights with some of the town guys.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Once in a while.
But you did mention that some of you dated some of the women?
Well, some of the guys did, yes. It wasn't, as I say, most of the families didn't want their kids associating with us, so, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do any dating around with any of those kids down, those girls down there, because...
Yeah. So... Does that mean that you didn't get to know any of the local people? I mean, you didn't have any good relationships with them?
No, I never did, and I don't think most of us did.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So you don't know of any success stories where a CCC man actually met and married a
No, I don't.
In the area. So, okay, now, here's a question about the... summer residents there. Did you have any relationship with, was your relationship with summer residents any better? Did you actually have any relationship?
No, we didn't have much, we weren't around them hardly at all.
Okay. This question says, what was the affluence of summer residents apparent? Were you aware of certain affluence there?
No, they kind of appreciated what we did and they were friendly and it was good. Yeah.
So they were more appreciative
of
the locals.
Definitely, yeah.
Ah, okay, that's interesting. Do you remember any particular personal experiences about friendly summer residents and how appreciative they were? Did you have any particular?
No, it was just a case of I was in Camden, and we supplied these tourists with their, as I mentioned before, their needs for the campsite,
mm-hmm.
and they would speak to us, you know, and ask us about the CCs and so forth.
Mm.
But we didn't have time to stand around talking, but it was an amiable situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, after you were done with the CCC, you said that you went back and worked for a while before joining the Navy. Okay. Can you briefly outline your war experience?
My war experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. I joined the Navy and got aboard a ship. And the ship was what they called an attack cargo. And the vessel was mainly to make invasions with. We would train troops and personnel how to get on board our ship with their vehicles and their things, and their troops, and we make an invasion. We practiced it in the Chesapeake Bay area before taking them to across. So I went ashore and made the invasion of North Africa. I made the invasion of Sicily, Salerno, and southern France, and Okinawa. Five major invasions, plus one up in North China.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were in the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Right. In the Mediterranean and everything, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I worked my way up to become a radar man first class.
And then when you then left the Navy, what career did you pursue?
Well, I was in love before, and as soon as I got home, and as soon as we could, she and I got married, my wife and I got married. Mm-hmm. And family followed, and a happy marriage, and here we are, four children.
So what sort of work did you do when you left the Navy?
I did basically bookkeeping and accounting.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So that high school interest, you followed up then?
That's right.
Yeah. Did you go to college to get a degree in that? Or?
No, I didn't. I learned from CPAs. I got a little course here and there and picked it up as time went by.
Mm-hmm.
Until the point where I got to be working up here at the university.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that where you spent most of your career then, at the university?
No, I didn't. That's a long time period right there you're talking about. I worked at several jobs. I worked in downtown Bangor for 17 years. But my last job, being the university job, I worked a little over 20 years and retired from the university up here as a supervisor of accounts.
Mm. Okay. Do you feel that your CCC experience influenced your career path in any way?
No.
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 Okay.
It just made me more independent.
Ah.
That's about the thing. It made me very independent. I could take care of myself.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you meet people at the camp that later became important connections for you?
No.
Have you maintained friendships with people in the...
Yes, I did for quite a spell, but two of the best guys I knew down there, my closest friends, all but one have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned earlier on this guy up in Monson, and I see him once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? You're a fast talker. I got through all my questions for you. Now, with Mr. Caswell, we really we went on and on.
Well, I hope I didn't mislead you or give you any bum dope there.
No, this is great. No, this is very, very helpful. I appreciate it. And what will happen is that, hold on just a minute. This is the end of the interview with Mr. Gray on August 16th.